But we passed out some of the definitions of some of the spiritual gifts. There's any table that does not have it. All right? Let me see. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Seven. All right. Here's some copies that we can make. Yes. I didn't get a chance to talk to Fran about our update. I haven't seen Brenda, Sister Logan.
She said to tell you that wasn't anybody here Friday, Sunday, and the money is in the safe, but she'll probably get to Brenda to write it either Saturday or Sunday.
Okay. Well, we're looking at, hopefully, Sister Brenda will be able to write us a check on Saturday or Sunday, and then that takes us 7 days. Once we get the check over to the Christian bookstore to purchase our books. So that looks like that's going to take us even past Thanksgiving. It looks like that we'll be bumping up against Thanksgiving before we can get into the book. But also, with that being said, if there are some who desire to get the book, there's still a chance up until this weekend that you can purchase the book for $9.97 together. It's called Experiencing God. Sister Doris Whiting will take your name and your money if you're willing to submit it tonight. But we want to make sure we get the book because I really want to get going in it. I really want us to really delve into the book. It's called Experiencing God. And so I think it's a great book. But right now, again, we'll be dealing... I'm going to hold that up. Okay. That's the book that we'll be going through. And so it will challenge you all a little bit because then it will cause you to read. I know, praise the Lord, that we went through different books of the Bible verse by verse. And some of the time it's hard to get home and read because Ms. Scogel put the scripture up there. He's going to break it down. So it'll just be reading it. But this book, y'all, you're going to have to read. Again, because this book is not only something I need to teach and go from, but it's self-paced as well. So you have to interact with the book, really deal with the book in order for it to have an impact on your life. And so with this, I'm going to help guide the process is asking questions. Now, the book has its own questions, but what I'm going to do is make some creative questions so that in our Bible study, we're going to start having dialogues and meeting groups and stuff like that. And so a little different variety of going at this particular exercise, which now I'm going to say this out front, that going through this book is going to make a little bit uncomfortable and vulnerable because the book delves into your own personal life. Because if you're really going to experience God, you got to get to a place where you're ready to share. And so sometimes in your answers, you're going to maybe in a group's discussion, I say, you all take question one and how did question one affect your group. And then with that being said, wherever you sit and when you share, what goes on in here stays in here. Okay, let's say that again. What goes on in here
stays in here.
That's one of the. I took this counseling class, and it's called discipleship counseling. And one of it is the lecture part, and then there's a lab. Now, going forward, now the lecture part is a great class. Now, what you do is you get the lecture and you get here's how to counsel. The lab is now we're going to set up scenarios to see if you know how to counsel, right? So what they say, the going statement about the lab classes is what goes on in lab stays in lab because, again, you're sharing, you're vulnerable. So people have come to seminary saying, I ain't going to cry. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to allow this, whatever goes on here. When I share my information, what ends up happening? The hardest, the roughest, the toughest of all of us end up sharing something, and we all cry. Yeah. But what I learned about it is that you learn about individuals as you're seeing what's going on in their lives, but it's also helpful to you to be praying for them because you know what's going on within with their book they're sharing. So again, in order for this book to be as effective as you want it to be, is how much involved on the book you're going to be. All right? So that's my goal. I'm going to come in and share and do some things I believe, principles and stuff I'm gleaning for those chapters. But more importantly, there's going to be a lot of interaction. I hope I don't scare you away with that because I don't want to share my stuff with a whole bunch of people. So I'll skip this book and wait till you go back to the Bible and I can come back and just listen to you teach. But I think it's a great book for all of us. And I think that God would really truly be blessed and you would be blessed as well as we go through the book. Any questions? All right. Again, there's still time. Now, passing out the definitions of some of the spiritual gifts. Again, we've been going on through a little bit about identifying certain gifts. But what I want to do, I spent too much time trying to outline and define what gifts are what. But now what I want to do tonight, as we go through certain gifts, I want to go through the verses that are described in the book, in these lessons, as to how they come up with why this gift and how it operates. That's okay? So I don't even have a copy. let me steal yours. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. Now, I dealt with apostles. I dealt with this word of
prophet.
Now, going back forward again, somebody asked me a question. Ms. Cole, I hear this term called calling. You know, how do we define what is a calling? And so, again, Scripture is always the way we define it. But I think we use this word very interchangeably. And we use it loosely. I got a calling to bake cakes. I got a calling to sell pies. I got a calling to play basketball. I got a calling. I mean, we just made this thing so way beyond the scope of Scripture. And so I believe that there are three areas of major calling that are listed in the Bible. Number one is the area of office, leader, deacon, pastor, minister. There's a calling. Again, a universal definition of a calling is really, I think, is synonymous with purpose. What am I purposed to do? What am I called to do? What did God have in mind when he connected me with the local church? What purpose does he have? What calling do I have from God that said, here's what I had in mind for you to be doing? And so this calling, like I got a call to ministry. What that means is I called, and people always say I got a call into ministry, but really when we mean calling to ministry, what we mean is I have the gift or the calling from God to preach. That's what we really mean when we say a calling to ministry. But again, other people use it interchangeably to mean all kinds of things. I got a calling to usher. I got a calling to do youth ministry. I got a calling to do married couples. But I think sometimes what they really mean is not so much a calling, but a passion. An undergird passion or a purpose. There's one thing for me to desire to do something, but to feel a call to do it. You get the difference? God orchestrates the calling. He, the one who said, I have called you out, you know, to do something. So this word calling, it has a lot to do with more of ministry leadership in the local church. Number two is, how do we define what is a calling? You know how you heard people say, I got a call. Oh, all right. That person, or he or she got a calling on her life. Anybody hear that? They didn't grow up saying, Lord, got a calling on you. Now, I don't know quite what they meant when they said that. Number two, there's a calling to evangelize. God is calling all of us to evangelize to the world, right? Number three, there's a calling to be saved. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Mm-hmm. He goes on and says, how can they hear a preacher unless he's what? Or I mean, saying, I forgot how to say it. The word of God is near you. And all. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10, 9. Turn to it real quick. Romans 10.
10:14.
Yeah. All right. Romans 10:9-10. Here is a universal scripture if you're leading somebody to Christ who have never accepted Christ. All right, remember cool. That you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus as Lord and believe with your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting into salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For, he says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on him whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how can they, how will they hear without a preacher? So there's a universal call to evangelize, but number two, there's a universal call for people to be saved. All right? What this verse also is teaching is that God is the one that's calling. Before there's a preacher, God universally has called men and women to himself to be saved. Then he says, now, but we do need an individual to go and tell. So he says, a preacher. Psalms chapter 110 talks more about this, that God uses universal call, that people are called to be saved. So when people say, my mama told me that I had a calling on my life, and I said, first of all, have you accepted Christ? And he said, no. I said, well, the first call is, you called to get saved. Amen. I don't know what mama meant. I don't know what mama had in mind, but the first call is for you to get saved. Amen. But what we do is, we say, God got a calling on you, and hoping that the calling will get you to live right and do right, but not realizing there is a prerequisite before you start running in the church and leading the church. You got, number one, first, get saved. All right? So there's that calling to be saved. Number two, calling to evangelize. And number three, a calling to spiritual leadership. Is there anybody have any other answer you want to give, or any kind of add on to what I just said, or ask any question about what I just said? About a calling. Anybody?
So when a person decides they want to be a Christian,
mm-hmm.
and they just want to be a Christian, go to seminary, but they want to study,
mm-hmm.
and become a
minister,
mm-hmm. that's not really a calling.
That's a passion, that's a desire.
Let me say this. There's no pastor can validate anybody else's call. You can't. All you do is look at the fruit, saying you called, there's a fruit that go with you, but I wasn't there when you say God called you to do what you called to do. So pastors will tell you, I didn't want to call you, God is the one. I can't validate because I wasn't there. Right? But the way we validate whether you're called or not is that when God calls you, he will validate it. He will validate it. Because again, you have to, now let's say I go to seminary and I come to church, right? Again, God is the one who's called me. He's going to now validate it somewhere because I'm in his church leading his people. And you mean tell me he ain't going to validate? He's going to do some validation, and everybody's validation is different. Right? But that's why we have spiritual leadership in the local church, is to identify whether other people have called. Not because they're saying, I can see the call, but what I can see, there's some fruit, that there is something different than this young man or this young woman that's called to ministry. I can see something different, then I can now walk with you to see that. Right? So let's take Sister Laura. God called her. I can't validate whether she's called or not. But my role in her process was, then if you're called, then let's deal with what it takes in order to be a minister. Let's deal with lifestyle. Let's deal with the outside the pulpit. Let's deal with the areas that associate with preaching. Now, when you get up and you talk, that's you and God. Kenny Cole had nothing to do with that. Because again, it's this, because when God called you, it's his word in your mouth. He's going to validate. You're going to be able to see it. That's why they call trial sermons. Some churches call them initial sermons. But you said the old church called them trial. Why? Because we don't quite know what God was doing. You've been raggedy all your life. We haven't seen no change. And now you met with the pastor. Now you want to preach. Come up front first, and we got to make sure that you're a preacher. So let's hear you preach this sermon, and that'll let us know whether. And then what they used to do said, I grew up at my church. What they did when I preached my initial sermon, my pastor came up and says, okay, Minister Cole just preached his trial sermon. What do you all say? All those who want to say that Minister Cole has now preached his new sermon, all say in favor, say aye. They say aye. Oh, any opposes? No opposes? Aye. Have his motions carried. I need to hear a motion. Deacon stood up. Minister Cole, our Pastor Strowman, praise the Lord. I motion that Deacon Cole goes into Minister Cole, and he has fulfilled his call to preach here, everywhere. And then can I get a second? And a second, amen. But now they say we don't do a trial sermon anymore. We do initial. Because why should a person go on trial and let people validate whether God called them to that? So they say now we have what is called initial sermons. This is your initial sermon into what you're doing. Now, to go on her point, there are a lot of people who say they're called. They go to seminary. They come out of seminary. There ain't no fruit. And so, again, God, through this process, that's why we need to have classes where you talk about spiritual gifts, you talk about offices, so there's ways of identification. And the ways of some of identification is that the leadership, like when deacons are choosing other leaders, what they're doing is they watch them. They watch. What in Acts chapter 6, he says, find people who are full of the Spirit, who've been around us, who have a servant heart. That's who you choose. So there's a prerequisite as to what qualifies one or the other, right? So you have these apostles say, hey, we can't do these serving widows. What we need to do is appoint people to do it. But we can't just place anybody over it. Make sure they have this list of qualifications before they serve. And so here, again, deacons, they watch. They're looking for the fruit that this person has exemplified. Number one, spiritual maturity. That you have grown up in the church, not in age, but in spiritual, again, spiritual, because there's some people who are involved in church, but they're not spiritually mature. So then there are other ingredients in the household well and all those other things. So again, that's calling. Hope that helps. Right? Now, again, people use these terms outside of our church. You got a calling. And nobody knows what that means. Or I ran into people, Minister Cole, you had a dream? Yeah. Then obviously you call to a prophet. You're a prophet. How did you validate that? Because I had a dream? Again, we have people who really don't know what it means to validate somebody's gifting or calling. So we just associate certain things with it and say you must be. But the scripture answers those questions, all right? So that's the calling, and I hope that helped some kind of way provide a framework. Again, go ahead.
Once you've heard that initial sermon, as we call it.
Yes.
And down the road a little bit, you don't see no fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Who decides whether they stay or go? That's the point I was reading.
But what do you mean fruit? What you mean you don't see no fruit?
No lifestyle.
Hey, you said fruit. Why are you challenging me when I say fruit? You know what you meant when you said it. Yes.
Yeah. But does God remove them? We don't have to do anything. God remove them.
God gonna do what?
Remove him.
You fit on circumstance, but you got some raggedy folk that's still in leadership. No, God ain't gonna do it. Sometimes it takes the leadership to do it. Sometimes people will feel the conviction and say, this ain't for me, I'm gonna go ahead and leave the church. You got some of that. But no. That's why God's saying some stuff I got you in leadership for. Why do I gotta come down there and do it? Cain and Abel. Adam, I put you there to do that. You're the father. You're supposed to be involved in organized church. That's why I got pastors and leaders. Why? So they can say to that person, hold them accountable. Hey, my man, I don't see no fruit in your life. That speaks to accountability and so many other areas of spiritual maturity. But again, all of us are in the sanctification process. And so you got to find out what area of the process somebody's in. Now, I don't mind a person making mistakes and stuff like that. But if you ain't trying to change, you ain't trying to really walk this thing, then there's a problem. All right? So like Ephesians 4 says, he says, make sure, verse 1, make sure that you walk worthy of the calling which God has called you. You called you to leadership, there's a call to lead and to walk a certain way. You know what I'm saying? So that's where we need to raise the bar on people who say they're called. So when Pastor Stinger sent them to me, I'm hard. Because I don't play. And I guess no other big pastors play either. But some of us, you know, some church you go to, you can go tomorrow and go say you call and the pastor take you in and license you tomorrow, next day, and next thing you know, you're preaching. So it's all about different. But again, if we need to raise the bar on who is called to do what they're doing and let God develop them and show that their fruit is there. You know, but again, nobody can determine who's a call. What we do is sit back and fruit and investigate your fruit.
Oh, fruit sounds.
Yeah, it is. You know, what should happen is, what happened for me was that I was coming to church a lot, but there's starting to be a fire in me that wasn't before. And so I just could not sit still. So from it, I wanted to be involved in everything. And so when I got up, people started hearing me say things. They say, Miss Cole, won't you welcome the visitor? I come up, and I'm welcoming the visitor. They're like, whoa, wow, interesting. And next thing you know, I'm doing something else. And they started to see that I started showing up at Bible study. I started showing up at prayer meeting, you know, pray the Lord. I just think leaders ought to be somewhere. Leaders ought to be present. That's just me. I'm sorry. I just believe leaders ought to be present. I think leaders ought to be actively involved and they're there because the presence of leaders show a model to the community. If my leader there, then I'm accountable. I should be there. But now we're asking members to be there and the leader ain't there. So, that's a whole nother paradigm. That's a whole nother paradigm. But it needs to be accountability. All right, and so this fruit, I'm showing the fruit by being actively involved. Because when you are involved in leadership, you want to be there. If you call the priest, call the teeth, you want to be it. You want to be where you want, where God's called you. It has nothing to do with the church. It can stop your growth or your passion because the church may be dead. But you, as a leader, want to be involved and see how well you can impact the church, how you can make a change, how you can make a difference, because you realize there's something in you that you know God has called you to. And so that for me, a leader should be modeling that. So I say to leaders, like, dude, Minister Cole, what you think I should do? Man, I got these leaders ain't showing up. That's number one. That's a problem. That's a problem in leadership. You got leaders that ain't showing up because that can't be validating God's call. Because the way God calls you is to be actively involved in your not everybody else's church, but your church. Mm-hmm. But you got a whole lot of leaders involved in so many other stuff, but not their own church. Yes. But they ought to be involved in their own church where you're actively making a difference. But we oftentimes got silent leaders who have no accountability. They do whatever they want. They say whatever they want. They don't be around. You can't hold them accountable. And then they sit up night. Thank you, I'm a deacon. Thank you, I'm a deaconess. But if you ain't up there nowhere, you ain't doing nothing, you ain't involved, something is wrong.
Very wrong.
It's something wrong for me to be listening to people say, I don't know what's up going on in my life, if I don't see there's a need and see how I can play a role. So let's, even if I'm not involved, if a member come to me and say, Mr. Cole, we lacking in this, we lacking in that, I'm trying to see what way I can affect change in that area. Huh? You don't... But again, I think God is bringing the shift to bring that. I can't speak to why it shouldn't be or that. All I can say, our role is to keep praying, Grace. We got to keep praying and keep praying. Mitch, how long will we keep praying? Keep praying and keep praying. How long will we keep praying? Keep praying and keep praying. How long? Keep praying. Keep praying. All right? Some of you all have been praying for years for certain things that you're starting now to see it manifest. So sometimes it takes some time. Then sometimes the prayer takes some uprooting. What God will do sometimes is uproot the people, and they want to move on their own. So I help leaders saying, don't get attached to people. Some people will leave you, and sometimes be happy. Praise the Lord. I will be praying for you. Thank God for your ministry. See you later. Why? Because they on the sideline, they ain't involved. And then if you, here's what I know this for proof because I heard him say it. Here's what Dr. Tony Evans said. When somebody leaves his church, he said, Kenny, I don't give them a 2-week notice. They got 24 hours to get their stuff and roll. I'm praying for them. I believe God for them. I said, well, that's kind of hard. He said, I know you're going to say that. But he said, do you understand the ripple effect? If you let that person stay 2 weeks and they're already gone, they're going to tell everybody else they're gone, and they're going to make sure everybody know it, and this is why I'm gone, this is why I'm leaving, the church ain't doing nothing. And now his Susie Q was excited about her church, praise the Lord, but she ran into crazy Kitty Cole, who's already leaving, and I'm now going to string out a sour lemon toward the church, and now she's discouraged too. So Tony Evans said, forget that note. Going out the door, we're going to give you a severance package. We love you, praise the Lord, but you ain't going to be here that long. But they're pros and cons. That's Tony Evans. But again, you see how effective his leadership is. But again, I'm just saying, a leadership ought to be accountable. But again, members ought to be accountable.
Amen.
Because what we do is we're watching the leadership, but you ain't watching your own life.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. Because some of us are expert on what somebody else not doing, but yet we're not expert on what we're not doing.
Exactly.
But you got to have an expert opinion about yourself and see, check yourself. Where am I at? Where am I not involved? How can I be effective? Every time I leave this church, I still say to myself, how can I really be there and I'm in Maryland? If I'm going to be involved, I need to be there. That's my own passion, though. Nobody can make that happen. Because if I don't have that, I got to ask God, then am I really called? If I'm really called, then if I'm not involved, something is wrong with that picture. Because Jesus said, I go away. Seeing the Holy Spirit, those dudes didn't sit on their behind, did they? They got the Holy Spirit, they broke out. We need to do something. And again, us in church, here's the goal. The church is designed to equip you to go out, to do. But here, it's not just doing in the four walls. The church is universal. People. Y'all know that?
Yeah.
All right. So if you're not doing it at Mount Olive, in your spiritual gift, you ought to be finding somewhere to use your gift. On your job, grocery store, your family member, there ought to be a way where you're exercising your gift, not just in church. But more importantly, it should be in your church. Because I can't imagine that you got a home, but you ain't involved at your house.
You don't live there.
You really don't live there. But we did it again. We got maids now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know. We're blessed now. Amen, life. Fresh from heaven, telling me, go on, Minister Cole. All right. Now, let's get into some of these gifts real quick. But again, accountability. Let me say this. If you don't have accountability in your life, something wrong. If you don't have nobody that can get in your face and say, hey, what about this area? What about that area? Nobody's an island to themselves. We ought to have accountability. Somebody that you can go to that will tell you straight up, you stink. But some of us got loose leaf and intention or accountability. Your accountability partner is your prayer partner. And all y'all do more praying than accountability. We need intentional that you are saying, I'm taking a responsibility and a role in my life. So my friends that are accountable to me or I'm accountable to them, I can't leave it up to them to do it. I got to be intentional. So I'm intentional about them getting in my face. So they can call me at this moment and say, how you doing in your Bible study? How you doing in your prayer life? How you doing in your purity? How you washing your eyes? Are you thinking right? How you treating your daughter? How you treating your family? You spending time with them? Same thing I do, my boy. Hey, how you and your wife doing? Have you ever hit her? You get mad and slam out the door? Did you ever think about her having an adulterous affair? Why? Because we're involved like that. We are wanting to grow in Christ. We are holding each other accountable. Why? Because we're trying to be all who God created us to be. And by myself, left to myself, I'll destruct myself. I know. Okay. All right. It ain't Kenny Cole only. Leave it to yourself. I promise you. How good and wonderful you are, there is stuff that you do, and you know it's bad, and you know it's wrong, but you do it anyway. Oh, I can't believe it. I did that, Lord. Oh, Lord, please. And tomorrow you go right back doing the same thing. That's why I don't trust me. So I say, I don't trust me, my boys. Make sure you check on me. Now, everybody can't do that to me. Yeah, again, because I'm accountable to these people, but also I'm accountable to the church I'm at. There's a certain role I carry myself in. So I shouldn't have to act in when I'm in the church, because why? I'm in leadership role. So now I'm on the hit list. Everybody watching. Everybody watching. Everybody watching. So Lucy, everybody watching. Everybody watching. I had somebody come to church to visit me. Do you know how many 8 people told me she was here before I got there? Man, tell you, hey man, boy, I'm gonna pray for you. You got a girl at church. What? But you came and visit you. Woman, pray for you. Oh, wow. They watching. Did you hear what she said? She said she's here to visit Mexico. I wasn't even, I got the report. So somebody made sure I knew. So that told me, oh yeah, they watching you, Minister. Cole. Oh yeah. Praise the Lord. I ain't say no name. Somebody else said, Mr. Cole, you are a white rhino here.
A white rhino?
Yeah, you are a white rhino. I ain't get it. I'm like, over my head, break that down. Well, there are no white rhinos, are they?
No.
So you are visible. Seen. Woo! Big target on your back. No! Can't be. Oh, yeah, it is. And again, when we're called to leadership, you're called to that. You're called that people are going to look at your life because you're a leader. I can't be mad at them. I've got to understand. There's a certain way. People are going to look at leaders. You say you're a pastor, they're going to watch you. Oh, you're a deacon. I've seen you. They may not say anything. Oh, they watching. I promise you, they watching. They may not ever say a word. They watching. Some of them are worse than your kids watching you. Let me get out of here because y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Let me get out of here. All right. Again, leadership, we're called to be accountable, number one. But number two, James says, be careful of trying to be a teacher because you're held in a stricter judgment. Why is that? Why does Timothy give us a list of how a deacon and a deaconess ought to live, a preacher and how they live? Why? Because people are going to watch it. If you're married as a preacher, they're going to watch how you treat your wife. Go to a church, I promise you. Go to a church and listen to the pastor who's married preach. I guarantee you they're looking at the wife the whole sermon. Whole lot of people, Sister Jasmine, I know she prayed the Lord, but there are a whole lot of people looking at her when he preached. Yeah, let me make sure I can get a glimpse if it's okay, because if she smiles, that means we all right. But if he starts talking sly-eyed crazy and she's looking all frowning, oh, Lord, somewhere on the home. I ain't talking about something I heard. This is something I know. That first ladies, that's one of the things that they have to put on the face. They got to put their shit straight, because why? People watching. People want an in route. So when you're in leadership, this is one of the areas that you know that you're called to be a spectacle. So if you're going to be a leader, make sure that you understand this. Does that mean you be perfect? No. What that means is recognize God has called you to a certain place in office, that there's a certain way you ought to live and conduct yourself. And in that role, I can't say, oh, I'm a leader, Lord, but don't let nobody hold me accountable. Lord, don't let nobody always look at my light. No, Kenny, if you took on this, this just comes with it. I need you to understand that this comes with it and just live it. When I decide to become a dad, you know, I'm on spectrum. My daughter looking. Looking at every down in front. So I can't say, no, she looking, watching. Steven, he watching everything I say. Watching her. The minute I decided to mentor him and he started being my life, he watching. Mitch Cole, I'm watching. He be looking at me all the time. I'm listening and I'm watching. And he should. He should do that. Because if I'm called to be in his life, then I should have an impact in his life. So there's a call to me, a stewardship I have to live a certain way. So when I start thinking about doing something, I got to remember Steve. What is it going to look like if he hears that this happened to me? And I got to think about those things, because that's what the leaders do. Leaders, you got to think about the effect that you're going to have when you damage a life. I got a pastor friend right now who got caught in a doctor's affair. 2 years. Damaged the church. Tore the church up. Got young people crying. I looked up to him. Had an older senior lady call me, Miss Cole, I don't know what's going on, but I wonder if I was involved when he was coming to see me, because he was coming with the girl, and I didn't know what was going on, but maybe I did that. And that said to me, son, you got to watch how you live, because that has a ripple effect to your leadership and people, because they're looking at you because you're supposed to be God's representative. And being God, maybe don't, but you be perfect, but you watch what you're doing. And here, guess what? You are too. I don't know what you're thinking, but on your job, people, when the minute you say you're praying, the minute that you put on a computer, spiritual music, the minute that you look in your Bible and you talk about this Christian stuff, I guarantee you people are watching. They may not never tell you, but they're watching. They're watching your walk. I remember a young lady tried to trip me up. Offer me sex. You know what she said? I heard that your boy's talking about how you living. I said, there's no way you living like that. So I was out to prove you wasn't who you say you was. Now, I didn't tell her I was living this way. My friends told her. But because she heard, now let me go see it. So you're the same way. That people say things to you slick. They know why they saying to you slick. Yeah, she says she's a Christian. Let me see. And the minute you cuss somebody out, you know what they're saying? I thought you was a Christian. And then you say, well, you cuss too. Well, I'm supposed to, but you ain't. Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So again, accountability. I ain't planning to go this deep, Lord Jesus. But again, we have to be accountable as a church. We're now in a day where people are falling off the church. They're leaving the church. So why? Because leadership is giving a false example. Now the IRS involved. They got all these preachers living lavishly. Preachers of L.A. all on TV. You think they ain't highly publicized? How many of y'all watch Preachers of L.A. or heard about it? Man, it's all on Facebook. Oh, Lord, let me see how these preachers living. Ms. Cole, I know we ain't talked a long time, but did you see Preachers of L.A.? Tell me what you think. I'm minding my business. I ain't heard from you since I've been on Facebook, but now Prince of L.A. on there, you want to know my opinion. Well, again, because the church is spectacle. What time is it? Lord, I can get out of here.
20 after 8.
Oh, Jesus. All right, let's get the spiritual gifts. Praise the Lord. All right, Jesus. No more of that. Amen. It's your fault, Grace. No, that's Deaconess. Samuel's thought, she asked about seminary and calling and all that. She did all that, brought us that way. All right, now. All right. On page 28. 29, I'm sorry. On your page 29. All right. Now, these are equipping gifts, speaking gifts, rather. All right. Now, exhortation and encouraging is to come alongside to help, right? The ability to help another by motivating him or her to action through challenge, encouragement, and rebuke. Both a public and a private gift. See that? It's a public gift, but also a private one. All right? You know what that means? Private. Y'all know what private means? Huh? I think some of us need to use privacy more. Because some of us love to show that we got a gift. We want everybody to know it. So I want to use my gift so everybody can recognize I got a gift. So sometimes private, what it means, you are an encourager and may not everybody even say you are one. But that doesn't mean that you don't use your gift. All right? So somebody turn to Acts chapter 11, verse 23. Who will get that?
I get it.
All right, thank you. Somebody get Acts chapter 14, 21 and 22. Who will get that? All right, Ms. Jasper. Somebody get Acts 15, 32. Who will get that? Okay, Sister Evelyn. All right, Acts 16:40, Sister Allison. Who get Acts chapter 20, verse 1?
I will.
All right, and then who would get Acts chapter 20, verse 17 through? No, nah, we're not gonna read that one. That's too long. Acts chapter 20, verse 17 through 35. I'll take that. I'll just skim through it. All right, who's gonna get 2 Corinthians 9:5? Somebody, anybody.
I can
get that. Great, okay. Somebody else get Jude 3. Come on, Ron, yeah. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 through 8. Can you get that to Dwight? All right. Philippians 4, 2. Marie, Philippians 4, 2 as well.
4, 2, okay.
All right, Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 14. All right, Deacon. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. All right, Ernie, thank you. And 1 Corinthians 14, 3. Who'll get that? Benita, thank you. Thank you for volunteering. Appreciate it. 1 Corinthians 14, 31. We need to get that one, too, in the same chapter. Verse 3 and then verse 31. All right, and the last one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 11 and 12. Who'll get that? All right, Tanya, you get that. All right. All right, let's go. Who's got the first one?
I do.
All right.
Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute hearts to remain true to the Lord.
All right. Now, look at the encouragement. What is the encouragement?
To remain true to the Lord, encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord.
Yeah. So this encouragement speaks of not just encouragement off track. It says encouragement to be strong and continue in the Lord. Mm-hmm. There's sometimes that we need to encourage people to be strong in the Lord. Who got the next one?
Acts 14.
That is Acts 14, 21 and 22. Just Jasper.
And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God.
Okay. Now, what is the part that's encouraging to the Jasper?
Just continue through faith.
Continue in the faith. All right, so here there's two levels of encouragement. They're both the same in being strong in the Lord or staying in the faith. All right, so go ahead. Who got the next one? 16 or 15:32.
And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brothers with many words.
Now, who else who did this?
And confirmed.
Read yours again.
And Judas and Silas, silent, being prophet also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them.
Okay. Now, remember, it's interesting that verse is that when they said prophets in this definition, they said don't exist anymore. Is that correct? Yeah. Right? Now, again, Acts 15 shows that they had prophets even after Jesus' day. But again, all depends on where you are. But it says they did what? They only prophesied, but they did what?
Exhorted.
So the leaders are not too big, they can't encourage. So you got the members encouraging each other, but he said leadership ought to be encouraging. So we ought to be encouraging as leaders even more than the body is to other body members. All right? Good. Go ahead. Who has the next one? 1640.
So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed.
All right? Encouraged them and departed. All right? Now, who's got the next one? 20, verse 1.
When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia.
Yeah, he encouraged them first and then left, all right? Notice that they encouraged before they left, all right? Go ahead, who has the next one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's 20, verse 1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're said you have 17.
I got 1735, but 20 verse 1. Who has that?
I thought we just read that.
Oh, Jesus. All right, let's skip over mine because I ain't there yet. 2 Corinthians 9:5. Acts 15, Acts 20, 17. Huh? 2 Corinthians 9:5.
I thought it was necessary to urge these brothers and sisters to go to you and get ready in advance the gift you promised to make. Then it will be ready when I arrive. And it will show that you give because you want to, not because you have to.
All right. Now, let me ask a question. How many of you all believe that you have the gift of encouragement?
Someday.
Okay. Okay. Now, here's what I want to say. Everybody can encourage. But this is the gift of. Which means you have an extra measure of it that's highly visible that this is what you do. Again, I don't mean to discourage y'all from raising your hand. You feel like, yeah, you got it. There's no problem with that. I'm just saying, now, if you are the ones that don't fit the category of constantly all the time using it, then I say you need to get to using it. Because if you got your hand up and you don't do it this much, something wrong. Why have the gift and you ain't using it? So if you got encouragement gift and you're sitting on your gift, where people are hurting, people are going through, and here you are with the gift and you're sitting there. Yes, ma'am.
Could you be an encourager, but that not be your gift?
Yes, that's why I say anybody can encourage, but this person who has the gift, they have this supernatural ability to do it. They have it's like, an example of it is like they hear bad news, but in the midst of bad news, they're able to twist it in a way to find an encouragement in it. Like, oh, my mama just passed. Well, you know, I said that, but you know, praise the Lord that to be asked from the body to be present with the Lord. And I just want to comfort you with those words. That's a person who just, that's what they do. They just kind of, and I know you've been around people like that, no matter how bad the news is, they always know how to twist it in a way to send something positive towards you.
Yeah.
And again, that's an encourager. Encourage her to do that. All right? But again, that's the gift. I hope y'all do the assessment so you really know if this is your gift. All right? Who has the other one? Jude verse 3.
That's me.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
You need to do what?
Which was once delivered unto the saints.
But you said contend for the faith. Did it say encouragement at all? Did it say exhort in there?
Exhort, yeah.
Exhort who?
Exhort you.
Exhort you, okay. So he's writing to exhort you. So here the leader is writing a letter to encourage the members. I'm writing to you. So here's Jude way 2,000 late years ago, wrote to us to encourage us. All right? Now, who else? Got the next one. 6:8, 2 Corinthians 2, 6:8.
I do.
All right?
Sufficient for such a one is the punishment which was inflicted by the majority, so that on the contrary you should rather forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, such a one might be overwhelmed by the excessive anger.
Yep.
Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Who got the next one?
I do.
I think I beat this down enough, but since I gave assignments out, I will keep going with it. Go ahead.
Okay. I implored that Eudocia, how you pronounce her name, his name? Eudocia, E-U-O-D-I-A.
Just say amen.
Okay, amen. And I
you can't pronounce a word, just say amen.
Okay.
Yep.
Amen. To be the same mind in the Lord.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. How many people have scriptures they haven't read yet? Okay, let's break this up. What we're going to do, can I just wash this away and give you, let's give you verses that's associated to the next gift and we can move through it. All right?
Okay.
So, praise the Lord.
I wish I had
Tanya, can you read, we're going down to Word of Wisdom, can you read Acts chapter 6, verse 3 through 10? And we need to read Matthew 10, 19 to 20. All right? Now, whoever have a verse that they haven't read yet? All right, Martha, can you read, we're down to Word of Knowledge, read Matthew chapter 16, Verse 14 through 17. All right, on the next page, we have the gift of hospitality. Who hasn't read yet? We have a verse. Dickie, can you read 1 Peter? Acts chapter 6. Read 1 Peter chapter 4, 8 through 11. All right, who hasn't had a verse that they haven't read? All right, now about the sign, just for gifts. All right, now giving. All right, can you read Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 4? All right, ruling and government. And that, can you read Titus 1, 5 through 8? That's under the ruling and government administration. Showing mercy. Can you read Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45? All right. Discerning of spirits. Deaconess Samuel, can you read 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 6? 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 6. All right. Healing. Yante, can you read Acts chapter 3, 6 through 8? And to add to you, John 14, 10 through 14. All right, miracles. Can you read Acts chapter 9, 36 through 42? All right, Mom, can you read interpretation of tongues, can you read 1 Corinthians 10 and 30. Mm-hmm. 10 and 30. Verse 10 to verse 30. All right? Now,
you mind reading? How you want to read? Okay.
thought he did give tongue.
No, he said interpretation.
Oh, interpretation.
He's given the field.
14:8-10. All right. Who are we starting with first? Tanya, right? Yeah, all right.
Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are willing to be full of spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, mm-hmm. a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke.
All right, that is. Here in Acts chapter 6, notice that in the widows were being neglected, right? Mm-hmm. What they said, we need people to do this. But they just didn't pick anybody. They said it had to be what? Wisdom and full of the Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Number two, it just didn't stop there. They said they presented them to who?
The apostles.
To the apostles. So the apostles, what? Laid hands and validated that these people fit the description, and they are now, we're going to lay hands on them and validate that they're called to do this, and as a result of it, we prayed for them, and they got done. So again, it's not just they having the spiritual gift of this being wisdom, but also it was validated by the leaders. The leaders were able to validate that that person had the gift. And it said the gift of wisdom, look what it said. The ability to make God's will known to men, to apply spiritual principles to vexing situations and contemporary problems. It requires a settled disposition of mind, illuminated by the Spirit, which has a broader understanding of the purposes of God. So it's just not just wisdom, it's able to apply it to biblical perspective in a contemporary context. So it's not just saying, here's what the scriptures say. What they do is, they say, based on your problem, based on what I see, here's a scripture that fits it, and here's how you apply it to that situation in your context. That make sense? All right? Now, who has the next one? Benita, what do you have? This is the word of wisdom again.
How do we get that mixed up?
Word of knowledge.
Word of knowledge. Okay, word of knowledge. Sorry, go ahead. What verse is that?
19:20.
Matthew 10? Nah, you should get Matthew 16:14-17, something. While she's getting that, who? Mom, what do you have?
They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven.
Alright, what they're saying is, in this gift is that Peter, they asked the disciples, who do people say I am? So they started responding, some say Jeremiah, some say Isaiah, some say just John the Baptist, Jesus, we just giving you what the report was. Peter, in his own specific says, stands up and say, nah man, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, what that means is, Peter, your cognitive ability did not give that to you. You're not smart enough. So that had to be revealed by my Father. So this word of knowledge is, Peter, prior to the question, you didn't have this information. But based on the question, as you're sitting there, God gives you a download and gives you this information that you can't take credit for. I promise you, there's some things that people say, Ms. Carr, I tell you this, you say this, wow, that's profound. I can't take credit for it. I don't know. God just gives it to me. I ain't that smart. Praise the Lord. I'm not that smart to come up with some of this stuff. But it's that word of knowledge that God gives an individual to be able to make sense out of something that you know in and of yourself. There's no way you could have concluded that and then really gave me that kind of revelation knowledge. So Jesus said, Peter, you're an example of this gift. Flesh and blood didn't give that to you. You didn't read that in the book. No man gave you that. My Father in heaven had to give you that information. That's Matthew chapter 16, 14 through 17. Sorry, Benita. Praise the Lord. Oh, oh, John. Who next? What's next? What's the next one? I don't know about that. I got how much time to move back through.
Help. Yeah.
I'm at health for all right. Health. Somebody should have. I can't even remember what I gave. I'm lost. Oh. Who has health? Instead of Acts 2:6-7, I gave you something else that Tanya read that. Oh, yeah, 1 Peter 4. Okay, go ahead. 8 through 11.
And above all things that are true, charity among yourselves, a charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God has given.
Mm-hmm.
That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion ever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which try you, as though some strange things happen unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. I'm glad that Deacon read the extra verse in it because I think it fits the context. I think that he said, number one, your service is pleasing to who?
God.
He said, number one, make sure you understand when you're serving, no matter what your gift is, that you are doing it to
the
God, right? But he also said, don't be concerned or don't be caught off guard as the fiery trials. I think that's connected to the minute you serve. I promise you, hell is going to rise up. All you got to do is serve. Run to get somebody a plate. Amen. I promise you, hell will rise up. And they love Jesus. They come out of church service. And hell will rise up. Did you, Ms. Cole, opportunity to see what's going on? We need this at the table. What table you serve? Who else needs? What type you need to bring that to? Whoa. I'm serving. But hell comes out of nowhere. The minute you decide to serve.
Amen.
The minute you go out to the home. Why are you going to D.C.? Why you ain't going to Maryland? Why you ain't going over in Leesburg? Fire will come. The minute you try to use your gift, fire coming. It comes in every form. When you're trying to encourage people, fire coming. Well, don't get all this. I don't want to hear that. You ever been there? You ever been there when you encourage people and you talk to them and they say, I don't want to hear that? Mm-hmm. Fire coming. So he says, when you serve, he says, you got to expect it. Don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange the minute that you get up and try to do something that Satan, remember Jesus, disciples, go to the next city. There's a donkey tied up. When you go get the donkey, he's been there. Ain't nobody heard written him. He's been there. And when you release him, if anybody asks you, tell him I got need for him. What happens? Like get over there and loosen that coat? What somebody say? What you doing with that coat? They ain't care nothing about the coat as long as it stays tied. The minute it started to do something and want to make use of it, what you doing with that? Did God tell you to take that? Again, you got to expect that regardless of where you serve, that we're all up on the definition. Here's what it says. The Spirit-given ability to serve the church in any supporting role, usually temporary, though sometimes spiritual.
though sometimes, right? Look, joyfully and diligently, wherever, whenever required. Y'all got that? Wherever and what?
Whenever.
All right? Somebody, Steve, give me a favor. Read Mark chapter 10, verse 45 for me. Right, now, while he's getting that, we have giving. Who has that? Yes. Yes.
And you're angry.
Yes.
And you're smiling on your face.
Yes.
You don't know how to treat people. That's not
how
you
get out of there. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree.
You get out of there.
I agree. But the problem is nobody else wants to step up and do it. So now you're mad at who's in place. But yet nobody steps up and say, I have that gift, let me help out. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's why we got to make sure that you make great points. You make a great point. I think that, Jesus, Lord, that we have to, that's the goal of this exercise and this going through this, is that get the right people with their gifts in the right places. Because if you're in a place where you're not gifted, it's going to be hard. You know, trying to get me to sing will be hard. I love Jesus. But Sister Lucy, better not give me no mic because I'm going to sing. No. You set me up to fail.
Make a note of that.
But I can direct though. I don't know that's a gift. But I don't have no clue. So me trying to do this, it may look good, but guess what? It's all cue, jacked up, the ministry jacked up. He had fun by himself in the choir, like we lost. We don't know where he's going. Because I don't have a gift for it. That's why I operate within my gift. I know my own ability. I know it. So I know what God has gifted me in, and I work in an area. So also, when you know that you're getting cantankerous and you're getting tired, you're getting beat down, you need to rest. And sometimes it's an eternal rest from that ministry. Not a physical rest. It's an eternal rest. Don't come back no more. You're good. Find somewhere else where you can be gifted and use it. But again, the goal is not to critique that person or put that person down. The goal is to put the right people. Because again, we ought to be now encouraging and building up. So when somebody else is tired, the other one steps in. That's the goal. But what happens in a church like this, or any churches, they do a lot of pointing, but they don't do a lot of saying, here am I, Lord, send me. Let me come in here and help. So now, it's one thing to say, I can point the finger, but I'm now want to get involved, and you get shot down. That's a whole, I love to hear you get shot down. Yeah. But at least try. At least try, and then when you get shot down, we can speak to the ministry. But again, and then some of us, we need to understand this, you're not the end-all, be-all to that ministry. I promise you, the minute that you die, I promise you that ministry will go on. Amen. Okay, all right. I mean, because some of us think that this ministry is all about us. And it ain't going to function without us. But I promise you, the minute you get sick or something like that, somebody will step in your place.
Exactly.
Before they ain't bury you. Be good. Let's put somebody else in place. But again, watching your gift, now I think you got it. Mark chapter 10, verse 45.
But even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but a minister.
Yeah.
And to give his life a ransom for men.
Minister, the real word is serve. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but he served. Now, what stands out to you about that verse?
Jesus is speaking it.
Jesus, number one, right? And he's doing what? Serving. Hold up. The man of God serving?
Mm-hmm.
He ain't being served?
Yeah.
So he's serving, right? He didn't come to be served, but to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then he says, which you don't see the verse to go with it, it says he gave his life as a ransom. That don't seem to make sense. But I think it's connected. That sometimes service will cause you to die to you. Die to yourself and your desires and what you want. It's called sacrifice. Some areas of ministry, you're going to have to sacrifice. It ain't easy to serve. It ain't easy to be in place. But somebody got to do it. Jesus said, even to the point that he died for it. He died serving. To the point that he's going to the cross, Martha. He said, hold up cross. And I'm just using the paraphrase, Kenny Cole. He went and washed the disciples' nasty feet. They've been walking all day long, and it was customary to wash the feet of people, right? Jesus, who needs to be washed himself, takes the time to say, I'm going to the cross, but no, I'm going to now wash your feet. Can you imagine what kind of humility that takes? That he's washing the feet, Keontae, of a man that's going to betray him. He's washing the feet of a man that's going to deny him. He's washing the feet of 10 people that's going to lock themselves in a room and not support him. But some of us love to serve, but we serve everybody that likes us. And some of us get in positions only because we get accolades. The whole church can see us. But nobody wants to be in the background when nobody else is around and you ain't getting no accolades. That's the level of service. But before that verse, he said this, which is powerful. If any man desires to be great, let him be a slave. How do slaves go to service? How's that connected? Why? I think it's connected because servant and slave are interchangeable in the Greek. And I think what it means is, what is the difference of a serve, a slave? What is a slave? Tell me, y'all.
Slave is someone that's owned. It's like property.
Huh? Like property. Okay, what else? What else about a slave? No rights.
No rights.
No privileges. No freedoms.
No choice.
Right? So I wonder why he used that word. A slave. For Christ. You giving up what? Your privileges, your rights to what? Serve somebody else. Are we really willing to do that? And I'm challenging you all to take your service to a whole new level. I don't care what ministries you're involved in. I don't care what leadership role you have. Take your service to a whole new level and model just like Jesus did. And I promise you, it's going to take getting dirty. It's going to take people who are going to look at you and say, I wish you would serve me. I don't want your stuff. Are you willing to serve somebody who will talk about you right after you serve them? Have you ever went out your way to go across town and buy, get something for somebody only to get there and they're like, whatever, thank you. No, I ain't even saying thank you. They walk away. Have you ever served some unappreciative people? How did that make you feel?
Unappreciated.
Yeah. And so here's the thing. A lot of us have a complex that we say we want to serve, but a lot of us want to be served. Because here's Jesus. He served. But we say we're followers of Jesus, but we can't see your service. You ain't even involved. You ain't even active. You serve more at your job and at your home than you do in the church. But we say we service, though. Number two, we're not even in communities. We're not even serving one another. You mean telling them to get your Bible? No, I wish I would get your Bible. Get your Bible. We got to have a servant heart. Can you imagine? Sister Mark, can you imagine? You came to church, right? It says self-denial, right? Well, deny yourself. Can you imagine if Deacon Samuels decided it's not about me, it's about somebody else. I'm going to put their need before mine. At the same time, you see that, you say, you know what? It's not even about me. I'm going to put Annette's needs before mine. You know, Annette says, you know what? It ain't about me. Maureen, I'm going to put my Maureen's needs before mine. and everybody is denying themselves and thinking of somebody else and they're serving. Can you imagine what this service in this church would look like if all of us were self-sacrificing and then being selfless and serve? Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Somebody else. So do we really need to hear it and thank you? I mean, it's kind of the polite thing and kind of nice to hear, but it's kind of the icing on the cake, too. So
yeah.
If we're really serving Christ, we don't always have to hear that thank you to you.
Yeah.
That.
And that's a great point, because I think that will speak to maybe the motive. Because when you don't give thank you and you adamant about it, maybe your motive why you serve was in the wrong perspective. Because Jesus says, when they reward you, he says, don't worry about man rewarding you. Because if you worry about man rewarding you, that's all you're going to get. He says, but don't worry about if man doesn't applaud you, the God who sees you in secret will reward you openly. So whether you say no to me or don't thank me or not, I did this because God told me. It has nothing to do with about you saying thank you. I just say thank you as a caveat. But really my motive wasn't to get you to say thank you. But and sometimes I think God allows me to go through those thank you sometimes because he wants to say, Kenny, get out your flesh. Because your service was not about her saying thank you or being grateful. Because if you truly model in Christ, he already knew they were going to be ungrateful. But he came to serve them anyway. Now, it's one thing for me to serve you and I don't know you're going to say thank you, but another thing to know you ain't going to say thank you and I served you anyway. And Jesus did that. And if we're going to be modeling him, we need to take our service to a higher level. Right? So, all right, now, giving. Who has giving? Giving, hurry up. All right? What's your verse? What's your
ask?
Okay. He just read the verse. I was talking about rewards openly. He said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Stop telling everybody how much you're giving. He said, the true essence of your giving is just give. Don't put a spectacle about it. Man, I gave that church all that money. I gave to the church. They ain't doing nothing with it. That ain't the reason why you're giving it. Again, it's supposed to be that. Now, who has healing? Thank you. Who has healing? That is Acts 3, I think, 6 through 8. Is that somebody have? Who had that? Now, this is a person who has the ability to heal. What time is it?
9 o'clock. Uh-oh. 9:01.
How many more
We got to hold out. We got next week. Praise the Lord. Well, we got out of the books anyway, so we don't have the books. We can't move forward. We won't get the books until 7 days. So next week, Jesus. All right. Now, this is a person who has the ability to heal, but I want to read this as we get ready to leave. There is a difference between divine healing. That is the ability of God to heal, right? Then he says, then the gift of healing. The gift of healing is the ability to a person, or the ability given to a person, to heal in God's power. So it's one thing for me to pray for somebody who's sick and they get healed. Versus this gift is through my ability, and God has given me a gift, I can come to somebody, lay hands on them, and they get healed. So that's the gift of healing versus God healing through prayer. So the prayer part, is only role I played in it was praise. So God did all the work. But here, Peter had the ability to say, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. When the man touched Peter's hand, the healing took his power and went down to his ankles, and he was able to get up. So there's one thing to have the ability to pray for somebody to get healed versus the gift. All right? Let us all stand.